Behold, the one they have pierced. Behold, the wood of the cross on which hung the salvation of the world. The cross of Jesus Christ stands at the exact and very center of all of human history. All that came before it and all that follows after it finds its meaning here. All of it finds its meaning here at the cross. The cross of Christ stands at the very center of your life. It is the only thing that can make sense of it. It is the cross and nothing else which can make sense of your life. There is no greater wisdom to be found than the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no greater love than the cross of Jesus Christ. Such a love as this always demands a response. And there's a temptation on this day, Good Friday, for my response to be one of mere pity. Focusing rightly on the immense suffering that Jesus endured in his passion and his death. Both the immensity of his physical suffering, but also the great spiritual suffering that he endured, and that between the two of these, his physical and his spiritual suffering, no man has suffered as he did on that day. To behold him scourged and beaten, and to shudder and tremble, and to think how awful, how horrible, to pity him. Pilate, after he had Jesus beaten and scourged, he brought him forward with a crown upon his head, and he said, "Behold the man. Behold him." Pilate was trying desperately to garner pity for Jesus from the Jews. Yet he received none. What he received instead was simply the response, "Crucify him. Take him away and crucify him." Indeed, the horrors of Calvary, they deserve my focus. Not to turn away my eyes, but to behold the one who is pierced. Yet my right response ought not to stop there, as if it were my pity that Jesus desired. Upon the cross, when we set our eyes upon it and behold him there, we see his real and immense and overwhelming suffering on display. But even there, Jesus bids you to look deeper, to see to the heart of what it is that he reveals upon the cross. What is it that Jesus desires to reveal to you upon the cross? His real and immense and overwhelming love for you. To watch someone you love suffer is, as anyone with any passing experience of it knows and will tell you, it's a suffering of your own. To watch and behold as one of your parents or your own child suffers in intense pain and misery, and there's nothing you can do for them to lessen it. Oh, how you wish you could take it away. Or if it were possible to ease their suffering in some ways, if you were given the chance. But to watch someone you love suffer, the only response that one can give is that of sorrow, usually. But to watch someone you love freely choose to suffer for love of you, this is a special kind of excruciating experience. Standing before the suffering servant, Isaiah observes, "Before him we turn away our face." They see him, and his appearance was marred beyond recognition, and they turned their faces from him. We are told to behold the one we have pierced for our offenses. Yet before him, we turn away our face. Why is that? What would cause a person, what would cause you, seeing Jesus as he undergoes his passion and his crucifixion, what would it be that would cause you to turn away your face, where you cannot even bear to look at him? Is it because the pain is just too much for me to bear, to watch him suffer in such a way? Perhaps. But no, at bottom, when I want to turn my face away from Christ in the midst of his passion and his crucifixion, it is not out of horror at what he endured, but something much more severely crushing. For it is the crushing weight of his love on full display before my eyes, and my daily, practical indifference to it. Love demands a response, always. And my indifference, my daily practical indifference, is indeed a response. Yet today, his response to my indifference is again love. And he bids me, in his love, to come and to embrace his cross. Can I, approaching and venerating the cross today, embrace and venerate my own cross, confident that he, who freely chose to suffer the cross for me, is there? That my cross, as painful as it is truly a place of love, the place where I encounter and receive the Father's love. Can I, approaching and venerating the cross today, freely choose to embrace my cross and willingly suffer for those I claim to love, confident that this offering to God, this most powerful of any prayer, will bear more fruit in my family or for someone I love than any word I speak to them or any other action I might perform for them? Can I, approaching and venerating the cross today, look upon the one whom I have pierced and behold his overwhelming love for me and love him in response? We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you because by your holy cross,